We had some fun at kids camp. We had a blast. I survived. All of our kids survived. David, you survived as well. Martha Dale, I don't know if she's here. I think she survived. I think she got back. Oh, she is. She survived too. Okay. Yay, we all survived. We had a great time. Awesome time at camp, and I'm just so excited about what God's doing in the next generation in our Southern California churches. It's a lot of fun, but welcome. I'm glad you're here today on this cool Sunday morning, right? At least it's kind of cool in here. I turned on the air conditioner super early, so I'm glad that you're here today. And if just want to welcome you to New Heart Church, thank you for joining us today. There's a connect card in the pocket right in front of you. I'd love to know that you are here with us. If you're a guest, pull it out, fill it out. Even if you're not a guest, if you've been here a million times, fill it out. On the back, there's a section. This one's got a doodle on it, but yours probably won't. And write down a prayer request. If there's something that you're really asking God to do, you need God to do a miracle in your life, you're waiting for breakthrough, write it down. We'd love to pray with you and agree in prayer with you about what something God's doing in your life. And so write that down. Drop it in the offering in a few minutes as it goes by, or bring it out to the black box if you need a little bit more time to fill it out, or maybe God reminds you of something later, drop it in the black box before you leave. And if you're a guest, you can bring it out to our welcome center. One of our ushers will give you a free gift as our way of saying thank you for joining us. So that's kind of a cool deal. Not you, Patricia. You've already got a free gift. You don't need another one, though. But if you're a guest, bring it on out there. Let them bless you with that. And in just a moment, our ushers are going to receive our tithes and our offerings. And really, this is for those of us who call New Heart our home. So if you're a guest with us, don't feel any obligation to give or participate in any way. Your presence, you being here, is your gift to us. And so let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we pray over our tithes and our offerings today. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are so good to us. And today, as we give back of our tithes and our offerings, we do so out of a generous and glad heart. And we say, Lord, we trust you with our finances. And Lord, as we give, as we sow seeds into your kingdom, we pray that you'd bless the gifts that are given. Bless those who give them, many sacrificially today. Lord, we pray that you just provide all of our needs, and we just give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 I've got just a couple of announcements for you today. The first is our women's brunch. Come on, can I hear it from the women today? All right, it's women's brunch. It's going to be this Saturday at 9 a.m. It's not here on the church campus. It's going to be, I believe, hosted at Karen's house again. And so if you have questions, you can see Tanya, you can see Rebecca, my wife up front, if you have any questions on where to go. But I believe it's a potluck again. So it's going to be bring your favorite dish to share, and they're just going to have a good time. It's a great time with the ladies at New Heart. And so please, 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 if you're a woman, come check it out. If you like bacon and you're a man, just pretend. No, I'm just kidding. But don't show up, man. It's just for the women. And the next up, this is one that some of us men might want to be part of. This is our Deep Roots Women's Retreat. Woo! Yeah, I got three or four excited about it. And men, you might be more excited if you saw where it's going to be. Actually, you can put up the picture of where it's going to be. This is the location that our women are going for the retreat. So most men, we do like a camp and we're roughing it. This is where the women are staying. It's going to be an amazing retreat place. You can put the other slide back up. But that is going to be in October 19th through 21st. We've already booked the facility, and so we've got a very limited number of spaces. So here's the deal. The cost for this, we've actually got it at a pretty reasonable cost. It's 2 days. There's like five meals included, and it's $215 for that. But we need to know that you're coming. We need to reserve your spot. We're going to be, there's a very limited number of spaces. So we have an $85 deposit that's due. If you're interested, women, see Miss Tanya out in the lobby. She's got a clipboard for you. She can let you know. You can write it down. We had a lot of interest. Women said, hey, I'm interested. And so that's how we figured out how many people we were going to be making spaces for. So if you're still interested, please check it out. It's going to be a blast. I told my wife that I need to come chaperone all the ladies up there because it's such a beautiful facility. But it's going to be a great time. So with that, I'm going to have you do something. I'm going to have you all rise. Would you all rise to your feet? Stand up. I want to have you cross the aisles, give handshakes and hugs. Tell someone today, I'm so glad that you're here today. Welcome someone today. Well, good morning. I love how you guys just talk. You love each other. I swear I don't spit that much, so you don't have to be afraid of the front rows. I'm just saying. I don't bite that hard. But I'm so glad that you're here today. And today I get to share the word with you, and I'm excited about what I believe the Lord wants to speak to us today. If you missed it, I spent this last weekend about four or five days up at Camp Cedar Crest, and there was about 400 to 500 young people, third to sixth graders from our Southern California area up there. Now, you get that many kids in one place, it's bound to be full of energy, and I just want to say I'm super excited. I have an anticipation for what God wants to do in the next generation among our churches in Southern California. And, you know, we took about 10 kids from our church family, and it was a great time. But I'm excited about what God wants to do and what he's doing in our young people. They're excited, they're pumped up, they're ready to chase after the things of God, and it's really cool to see. But with that, I'm very thankful to be home. I'm thankful to be home and sleeping in my own bed. I don't know about if you've ever been away for a couple days, it's like, oh, it's so nice to be home, but of course I brought the heat with me. You're welcome. You're welcome with that. But 20 boys in one cabin, that's kind of a deal. Yeah, just imagine 20 boys trying to get them to sleep at the same time. I have 5 at home and it's hard enough, but 20 is a challenge. But this morning we're going to be starting a new series, kind of a tradition we've started over the last couple of years, is through our summer months, having a series called My Fave. And the idea is this, I want you to hear, not just from me, but from some other communicators and other teachers in our church family that want to share their favorite verse, something that stood out to them this last year, maybe a verse that they've anchored their lives on over this last season, or they've rooted themselves in, that God has really used to encourage or to train them. And so that's what we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks. We're going to take a 5-week break from our study of Luke. We'll pick it back up in August. But I want to have an opportunity just to press the pause button and just to hear what the Lord is doing. And my prayer is that this series would be 2 things. One, it would be an encouragement. It would be encouragement as you hear, not just for myself, but over the next couple weeks from other folks in our church family, about verses that God has used to speak to them and encourage them. And second, that it would be an opportunity again for you to hear from some other voices within our church family. You get me today, but next week you're not going to want to miss. We're going to have a fun time. We're going to have a panel of a couple people sharing next week, and so you're not going to want to miss it. So come back next week. That's my plug for coming back next week. But first, let's kick it off. If you have a Bible, you can pull it out right now, or a Bible app, you can open it up. And I'm going to have you turn to Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to look at Psalm chapter 1 in just a second. And today, I get to share with you my fave. I wasn't planning on kicking off the series, I was planning on ending it, but hey, as the Lord put it, this is where I get to share today, so I'm excited. And so I want to share with you one of my favorite verses that the Lord has really been speaking to me about in this last season. As many of you know, my wife Rebecca was born and raised in Bakersfield. I served a couple years hard time there as well. Just kidding. It's a beautiful place. Well, it's not really beautiful, but the people are beautiful. And the area is okay. It was actually cooler in Bakersfield yesterday than it was here. So I've always thought of it as the hottest place on earth, but apparently it's Simi Valley. But we spent a few years there. If you've ever driven through the Central Valley, you know that it's, at least on the Interstate 5, it's kind of a barren place, isn't it? Now, for years and years, there's all these orchards and trees and beautiful stuff. If you drive up the Interstate 5 today, you'll see something like this. In fact, you can put that picture up on the screen. And you'll see a dry, dark, cracked area. And I love what that sign says. It says, food grows where water flows. And that is not only a true statement, but it's a pithy statement. It's a catchy statement. And if you want your plants to grow, you know this, you've got to give them water, right? How many of you guys have a lot of dying plants around your houses over the last couple days, right? Because there's no water, because it's dry, because it's hot. So I feel this is a timely word. And as we saw that on the Central Valley, that when there was water flowing to that region, it was like an oasis in the middle of the desert. And now that the water flow has been restricted and kind of cut off, you see it all up and down the Interstate 5. There's trees that used to be flourishing, used to be growing almonds and all sorts of other fruits and nuts. Now they're dead. Tractors have pushed them over. They're in a heap. And you see that where no water is, no life is. Just like that photograph, many places in the Central Valley today are dry and cracked because there's no moisture in the soil at all. And water is an essential element to life. Many of you feel like water's been an essential element for the last couple of days for us, right? I've seen so many people visiting pools, going to water parks, going to the ocean, trying to get out of the heat because water, man, we need it to survive. And we're reminded of that. There is a reason, I believe, that so many Christian organizations and ministry, missionary organizations, even our Foursquare missionaries, one of the first projects they'll often do as they go into a third world country is what? They dig a well. They give fresh, clean drinking water to those folks that are there. And it's not not by chance that that happens. In fact, according to the World Economic Forum, 1/3 of the global population, 2 billion people, live under conditions of severe water scarcity, at least 1 month out of the year. So around the globe today, there are people living with a lack of water in some form or another. We need water, right? It's essential. There's a famous rule of threes, maybe you've heard it, that you can go about three weeks without food. You can go about 3 minutes without air. And with water, you can only go about 3 days without water. Now, I don't want any of you going home and testing that, right? But because you'll die, and I don't want anyone to die. But you can go about 3 minutes without air. Some people can hold their breath longer. You can go about 3 days without water. You can go about 3 weeks without food. But water is essential. We need it. It's important. So when conditions are right in our lives, and whether it's plants or it's our lives, when our conditions are right, our lives can flourish, right? If you've got a garden, you know that when conditions are right, they flourish. Maybe you've got a nice lawn, and when it gets hot and you give it enough water, it flourishes, it grows, it produces well. But without water, where there's a scarcity of water, we bear no fruit. So with that introduction, you may be saying, what on earth are you talking about with water? We're going to get to the scripture, Psalm chapter 1. And today I want to talk about this because I want to ask the question, what if God had provided a way for our lives to flourish? No matter what situations are going on around us. As many of you know, there's droughts and there's wet seasons and there's dry seasons. But what does this have to do with me? And let's talk about it. The big idea, if you're taking notes, is this, that God wants you to thrive in all seasons. He wants you to bear fruit no matter what happens in the world around you. So with that, let's turn to Psalm chapter 1. We're going to read the first 4 verses. And I shared this with Tanya this morning. I just came to the realization of what the women's retreat's all about after my message was ready and done. And so I believe it's a confirmation of what the Lord wants to do because the theme of is deep roots. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Psalm 1, 1 through 4 says this. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. See, according to God, there are two different ways I can live my life. It's black and white, one or the other. Sometimes we like to think of it as many different options, but God says there's two different ways I can live my life. I can choose to walk my life the way that I want to. I can follow the wisdom of the world. I can follow the easy path that everyone else is walking on. I can do what feels good, what maybe sounds fun to me. But God promises that sort of life is going to lead to a certain outcome. And perhaps it's not God's best for my life, but it will lead my life to being like chaff that when the hard wind blows, will just blow away. That when hard times come and dry seasons come about, they're just going to crumble and die and be blown away by the wind. But God gives us another option. He shows us another path that we can take with our lives, one that is available for us to pursue. He gives us a blueprint for what some would call human flourishing, this idea of how to live life in God's ways, the best way possible. a life that's close to Him and fruitful no matter what happens in our lives. And we've all seen men and women like this around us. People that seem to, no matter what happens to them, they seem to still have joy. They seem to still, their life isn't falling apart, although the world around them is. We've all seen men and women like this. And God gives us a blueprint for how to live our lives that way, because God wants us to thrive in all seasons, to bear fruit no matter what's happening around us. And in my favorite passage of 2018, God gives us a few key principles for how to have that sort of life, a life that thrives no matter what's going on, no matter how hard life gets. And the first idea from the psalm is this, is that following God is a choice. I've got to choose to follow God. Now, there's no easier or more complicated way. There's no other way to say it. I've got to choose to follow God. That I've got to choose to say, God, I'm going to walk in your ways, not in my ways. I'm not going to listen to what everyone else says because there's lots of opinions about how I should live my life. But God, I'm going to choose to follow you with my life. Even if it's unnatural, even if it's different from what I had anticipated. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. See, there is a world that wants to conform you, that wants to conform me into its image. That says, Brian, I want you to act just like me. Brian, I want you to speak just like I do, with the right kind of language. We might call that political correctness, right? With the right kind of attitude, with a wisdom that I agree with. And let me just say, there's nothing wrong with cultural mores if we, insofar as they don't contradict the Word of God. See, every culture on the face of the earth has different customs and traditions and things they do. And insofar as those don't contradict with what God says, they're okay. We can accept those things. But every one of us daily stands at a crossroads. We stand at this point of decision, a fork in the road, if it were. We're given an option. Will I choose to follow God's ways today, or will I choose to walk in my own ways? Will I choose to do it His way or mine? And for some, that may be a first-time decision. Perhaps today will be a day that you decide, God, I want to follow your ways. God, I want to start walking the pathway that you've laid out for my life. I want to start going the way that you have directed me. I've been going this way, hasn't been working out the way I've been expecting or hoping. God, I'm going to try it your way. But for many of us, this is not a first-time decision, but it's a 1,000,000th-time decision. You know what I mean? Because every single day I've got to choose, God, am I going to walk in your ways or am I going to walk in my ways? Am I going to choose to walk in love or am I going to walk in death? Am I going to walk in the pathway of life, or am I going to take the easy route? But here's the wild news. God wants us to walk in those ways. Ephesians 2:8 tells us this, that we don't earn our way to God. It says, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. See, the only work we can do in our salvation and in our being right with God is to trust. We don't work hard to earn God's love. We just simply trust that Jesus already did the work. And we believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life. See, He gives it freely. All we've got to do is receive it by faith. And so there's something important about that idea that what we do is we walk with God. And the Bible declares over and over again that God chose you. For some of you today, you've never heard that word. You've never understood that before, that God has chosen you. The Bible says that before the foundation of the earth was laid, He chose us in Christ. He knew the decision that you would make. But what I love about this scripture is that it's a reminder, the scripture in Psalm, is that it's a reminder that this isn't a once and done kind of decision. It's a decision that we've got to make over and over again. Did you catch the word? See, Christianity is not ultimately about a decision. Let me just say something, friends. If you make a decision today to follow Jesus, you say, I want to say yes to Jesus, we're going to celebrate with God and the angels of heaven as you make that decision. But Christianity, at the end of the day, is not about a decision. Did you see what the word says? Check it out. It says Christianity is a walk. Psalm 1:1, blessed is a man who walks, not in the way of the world, but begins to delight himself in the word of God and the things of God. See, at the end of the day, this is a walk. It's a journey of faith. You and I will choose how we walk out our days. Every day, it's that decision. Am I going to get up? Which way am I going to walk? Am I going to walk with Jesus or am I going to walk with the world? So I've got to make a decision to follow God. The second thing our scripture today reminds us of is that to flourish, I must cultivate deep roots. Turn to the person next to you and say, you need deep roots. Oh, say it again with some passion. Come on, say, you need deep roots. Jesus came, and one of the things he declared was that he came to give us a different type of life. He says this verse, he says, I came to bring you life and life abundantly, or life to the full. But there's a thief in this world that comes to steal from you, to kill you, to destroy your life. So Jesus says, there's one of two options I can take. But my way will lead to life and life abundantly. Jesus wants us to live the life that God has purposed for us, a life that's close to God, that's meditating in his ways, that's walking after God, that's trusting in him. Because let me tell you something, friends, that when we walk in God's ways, we find that they're the best ways. When we follow Jesus, we discover that, man, this is what I was made to do. I was made for a relationship with God. I was made to know God and be known by him. See, the sort of life that God has purposed for us is one filled with love. It's one filled with joy. It's one filled with peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness. And yes, even self-control and faithfulness. It's one that the Bible describes as the fruits of the Spirit. Those gifts that God bestows upon his children as we put our trust in him. And I would submit to you that every human being on the face of this great planet hopes for love. They hope to be loved. Now, it doesn't matter how strong and burly and tough and mean and gruff they are. Every human being on earth desires to be loved. Every human being on the face of the planet hopes to find joy. To have some sort of joy that supersedes their situations. Every human desires to see and experience peace, right? We desire that we would live in peace. We long to see others treat them with kindness. And these longings, these deep yearnings of the heart of humanity are put there by God because none can fulfill them but God himself. All these are fruits, the Bible says, of the Spirit of God. God wants our lives to experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and all of the fruits of the Spirit. He wants us to experience those, but that only happens if we choose to follow God and we'll choose to put deep roots and say, God, I need to experience those things. I want to experience those things. And to do so, the psalmist says, we've got to plant ourselves. We've got to plant ourselves into soil that will produce those fruits in our lives. And to do that, this is what it says. It says, we need water. And our scripture today talks about water. Jesus talked a lot about water as well. And it's such a beautiful metaphor. If you're ever talking to someone in the desert about water, they understand you. Let me just say, as Southern Californians, living in a desert, because this is a desert, come on, let's be real. Living in a desert, man, we understand the need for water. And this is what Jesus says. He stands up in the middle of a feast, John 7:37. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. As I said earlier, water is essential for life. We need it to survive. And Jesus is saying something simple. He's saying, you and I, we need water to survive. And what he's saying is that he's got a source of living water that will make life come to our souls. Some of us have not realized the thing that our souls are thirsting for. We might have thirsted for a lot of things and been carried along to go get something to drink. But our souls thirst for something that cannot be found in a bar. Our souls thirst for something that cannot be found in a relationship here in our horizontal relationships with man. Our souls thirst for something that cannot be possessed by going to the store and spending money, or having a lot of money in the bank, or having a nice enough house, or having any of the things that we sometimes foolishly believe we're thirsting for. Our souls can only be satisfied by the living water that Jesus provides. See, the things that our soul thirsts for is, of course, God Himself. That's what we thirst for. Creation. And that's you and that's me. We long for our Creator. We ache for our God. And unlike so many fables and myths devised by men that try and describe God, the God that the Bible describes isn't mad at us. He's not far and distant. He doesn't play hide and seek, but in fact, God came. And He came to search us out. He came to provide us with everything we need. He came to give us that source of living water. And today He invites us to root our lives next to the stream that brings life, to put our lives down in soil that will nourish us. But it's not a one and done situation. Let's look at verse 3. We'll go back to verse 2 in a minute. Psalm 1:3. But He is like a tree planted by streams of water. See, what the psalmist describes is the type of person whose life is rooted in something that will nourish him. In other words, I don't just take a drink of water and I'm good, but he talks about rooting the roots of my life next to this stream of water, that I might be nourished again and again and again with a source that will not run dry. Last week I shared, I enjoyed a fantastic time with about 10 kids from our church family and a million other kids from around Southern California. And, you know, there's something that I learned about kids. I learned where they get their energy from. They suck it from all of the adults around them. It's true. I don't know when they do it. I think it's when we sleep. But we'd go to sleep and they'd be tired and they'd wake up and they're like, "Woo!" And all of us adults are like, "Woo!" Right? And we'd go to the mess hall and, I thought about this picture when I was at camp, because I'd go to the mess hall and I'd just want one cup of coffee. Just one is all I need. And many of us, I was just hoping, you've seen those Camelback backpacks that have like water bladders in them. It's like, I just got to fill one of those up with some coffee. I need a little bit of energy, right? Because I don't want to run out. And so actually, I was at Starbucks yesterday, I saw they came up with a new product. Check it out. It's for those of you who really need lots of coffee. You can put it on the screen. Maybe, there we go. So, if you just need an IV drip of some coffee, I don't think that's real. I'm pretty sure that's fake news, but... But some of us, we feel that way. We need some coffee delivered by IV. But in reality, we need to be tapped into something else, right? We need to be tapped into something, not just an IV of coffee, because that would be gross and probably deadly. But we need to be tapped into something that will give our lives real life. See, God wants your life to yield fruit in all seasons. And to do that, you've got to have deep roots. You got to have deep roots. See, as we plant ourselves next to the stream of living water, it allows our lives to flourish no matter what's happening. And friend, let me just tell you, hard times come. And when they do, if you've got deep roots, times are still going to be hard, but it's going to sustain you. Times are still going to be dry, but you're going to have a deeper source than that surface water that everyone else is drinking from. You're going to have deep roots that allow you to not just survive, but thrive in the middle of those seasons. And friends, that's my prayer for you, is that you'd have those deep roots, that you'd flourish. And perhaps right now is a dry season, just like it is outside. You go outside and it's like, all the air is just sucked out of your lungs. But maybe you've been hanging on for dear life, and you're not sure how you're going to survive one more heat wave, so to speak. And I'm not just talking about a physical heat wave. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are just hanging on by a thread, just hoping that you can get through another day. What God says to you is, if you will plant your life like this man does, next to a stream of water, God will sustain you no matter what you go through. And that's my prayer. And that comes to our last point, is this: to thrive, I got to feed myself on the things of God. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got to feed yourself. You do. You got to feed yourself. You know, I love that our women's breakfast is going to be like bring your own food, right? I mean, it's share, potluck. Because we got to bring our own food. We got to learn to feed ourselves. And not just feed ourselves, but feed ourselves on the things of God. There are so many things we can feed ourselves on in this world. And yes, I'm talking about our food source, right? There's so many things we can eat. But more than that, we've got to feed ourselves spiritually as well. We've got to learn to feed ourselves in that. There's so many things we can fill our times with, that we can make our desires all about. We can feed on the things of this world and on the approval of people. I can feed myself on man having the newest thing or the most stuff or the coolest gadget or the fastest car or having my looks be exactly the way I want them to be. Right? Just a little bit bigger muscles and a little bit less of this. No. I can make my life about those things, or I can feed myself on what God wants me to feed myself on some soul food. And I'm not just talking about good food from the South, you know what I mean? Although that is good food. It's what the psalmist declares. We've got to cultivate these deep roots, and we do so by changing our desires. See, the Bible talks a lot about our desires, but it says that we need to learn to delight in the Word of God, in the law of God. And if we will cultivate that, friend, man, it will change everything. Psalm 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. See, we delight in the things of God by meditating on his word. And what does that mean? Does that mean we like light some incense and sit in a weird position and chant? No. It just means that, man, I just marinate in it. Come on, some of you are hungry. Come on, I just marinate in it. I just sit. I mean, like, you like taking a bath or going in a hot tub. I don't think about a hot tub right now. That's a bad metaphor. It's too hot. But you just sit there and soak in it. Enjoy it. Think about it. Pray through it. Ask God to reveal himself in it. See, some of us love to be entertained. We delight ourselves in so many things. And there's a lot of good things, and there's a lot of enjoyable things we can do on this earth. But if we will cultivate this discipline, and it's going to start as a discipline, and it's going to end as a delight. But if we'll start with the discipline and saying, God, I want to get into your word. I want to marinate in it. I want to ruminate on your word. I just want to meditate on it. It's going to start as a discipline, but if we will allow God to, he'll change that into a delight. So we'll wake up in the morning and say, man, I can't wait to get into God's word today. Some of you don't feel that way right now, and it's going to start as a discipline. But I want to encourage you and challenge you that as you take delight in his word, it will change your life. And I just have to say, I've got a man of God that I owe my very life to. He's a mentor and teacher of mine named Larry Powers. Taught at Bible College. And when I got saved, I got a Bible, and I started reading through it. But, man, when I met this man, He had this infectious passion for God's word. And it wasn't just a book to him that he studied. It wasn't just something that he read about or knowledge to be had. But he understood this as the living and active word of God. And he had a passion for it. And he was contagious. He infected me. He infected me with his passion for God's word. And man, when I saw this man, how his life was dug deep to the stream of living water. And man, I see his life and the fruit of it. He's an amazing man. And he understood that this book is not just another book. There's a lot of good books in the library to look at. There's a lot of great books at the Christian bookstores, if those still exist, and on the Amazon and on the other places that you can find books. But there's no book that's living and active. See, this book declares of itself that it is God-breathed. In fact, Hebrews 4:12 says this, says, for the word of God, that's this book, it's living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I can do a pretty good job of putting a smile on my face, even when times are hard. But when I come to this book, this living and active word, God reveals things in my own heart that sometimes I don't even know. God speaks things to my heart that sometimes I didn't even know was in there. And God will reveal things in your life because this book is alive. And with his word, God is still speaking to his people. He's still giving wisdom that I need for my day and you need for your day today. This book is alive. And if I will take time getting into this book, and more than just getting into this book, allowing this book to get into me, allowing this book to get into my heart and into my soul and to begin ministering to me, God will change me from the inside out. And I don't know if you can tell, but I'm super passionate about this. I'm passionate about God's word because this book has changed my life. And not because it's a book, but because God speaks to me through this book. See, I have learned to delight myself in the law of the Lord, and it has changed me in good ways. It has tapped my life into something that nourishes me, even when things are hard, even when things go sideways, even when I hope for plan A and it's plan Z instead. You know what I mean? That when things don't go the way I hope, I have got a hope, I've got a source, because, friend, dry times are going to come. That's not a question. That's a statement of fact. Dry times are going to come. And when they do, if your life is rooted into something deep, into the deepness of God's word, it's going to change you. Some of you guys know that, actually kind of a funny story, but the day that my wife and I moved into our brand new house, to us at least, it's very old, but it's new to us. But when we moved in, there was this beautiful tree in the front yard. So pretty. It's gorgeous. And Josh, I think you saw it. Yeah, and so we had to take a couple trips because we have lots of junk, so we had to take a couple U-Haul trips. And so I pulled the U-Haul out of the driveway to go get the second load, and literally, as soon as I pulled out of the driveway, the gust of wind blew, and this gorgeous tree fell over. It almost fell on me, but it didn't. But this huge, huge tree just falls over in my driveway. And so the first couple months, we're like, well, what are we supposed to do now? Like, there's a hole where a tree's supposed to be. And so it was just a couple months ago, we planted a tree in that little spot. And, you know, some of you have, you know, tree budgets. We had a tree budget. So, we got our little tree, and it's a pretty tree. It's going to be nice someday, but it's small. And so I planted that thing, and I put all the fertilizer down and watered it. And the funniest thing happens. Every time we leave, that tree tries to die. It's out to get me, right? Every time I leave and come back home, it's like, it's withered, and I got to give it some water, right? And we've got sprinkler systems that water all the other plants. It's just great for the rest of them. But this little guy, he's a little baby tree. And so every time it gets hot, every time it gets a little bit dry, the leaves start to shrink up. I saw a little baby mandarin orange on that when we first got it. It's not there anymore. It's too dry. I have faith that it's going to come back again, but what's the problem? It doesn't have any roots. It's just got this little root ball that we planted in the dirt. And so, man, when water's right on it, it looks good. It looks beautiful. But when it dries out just a little bit, it doesn't have any roots that go out. And so when the water goes away for a day or two, when we go on vacation or we try and leave the house for a day, that sucker tries to die. And I got to water it again. Some of our lives are like that. Some of our lives are like that little baby tree. Man, when life is going well, our faith, it's flourishing. Maybe there's a little baby orange coming out, right? It looks like it's about to start being fruitful. The leaves are green. But the second the wind comes, the second the heat wave comes in our lives, because we don't have those deep roots, maybe we used to have them, maybe we had them in the last garden we were in, and we're in a new garden, we're in a new season, and our roots aren't there anymore. The first time that hot wind comes, our lives start to shrivel up. See, you and I need to cultivate now what we will need tomorrow. Some of us don't understand that idea, but let me just say, friend, there are dry days that are coming. I pray that they don't come, but they will come in all of our lives. And when those seasons come, we need to be cultivating now what we'll need then. And what I love about God and his foresight is that if I will discipline myself and come to God's word and say, Lord, would you speak to me? Let me just tell you a trick. I'll ask God to speak to me, and I'll read a word. I'll read a verse, and I'll be like, that's really cool. God's speaking to me through that. I have no idea how that relates to my life, but that's pretty cool. I'm going to remember that. Maybe someone needs to hear that. And then the next day will come, or the next week will come, or the next month, or maybe even another season of life, and I'll go through a storm. I'll go through a dry patch, and I'll say, man, this is hard. Ooh, I remember. God spoke to me about this. It's like he was setting me up. He was setting me up for this season. And friend, I don't know the future. I don't know about you, but I don't have a crystal ball to see tomorrow, but I know the God who does know my tomorrow. And if we will come to his word, if we will root ourselves in it and say, God, would you speak to me? Then God will speak to us. He'll remind us. He'll prepare us for those dry seasons. Now, I don't know about you. Some people might hear auditory words from the Lord, a booming voice like Jesus heard when he was baptized or on the Mount of Transfiguration. He heard the Father's voice, but I don't hear God that way. I'll hear God's voice when I'm reminded of a scripture that he's led me to. He's prepared for me. He's spoken to me about. And I'll hear the still small voice of God reminding me of his truth. This morning, I pray that you would hear the still small voice of God, that you would choose to follow God, that you choose to put down those deep roots next to his water source, that you would prepare today what you may need tomorrow by learning to cultivate a life of delight in God's word. Church, can you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we respond to the Lord this morning? See, the word of the Lord is this. He wants you to thrive no matter what season you're in. And let me ask you a question. Is your life thriving right now? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through your word, which is living and active. Father, we invite you to speak to us through your word. Today was a reminder for some of us. Maybe it was new information for others, but it's a reminder for many of us that you are a God who wants to give us living water. God, we pray that you'd help us to plan our lives, to dig deep roots, to cultivate, to protect those roots, to be like that tree you described. We pray that you would help us to have deep roots in you, deep roots that allow our lives to flourish no matter what's going on around us, no matter how dry our world is, no matter how hot or harsh the wind blowing is. God, would you allow our lives to flourish in the midst of those seasons? We thank you, Father, because you care. Some of us have been in a dry season, and maybe your roots aren't as prepared as they should have been. You've tried to find refreshment. You've tried to find something for your soul. I want you to hear the words of Jesus again. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. God is inviting you, friend, to come and drink, to be satisfied, to be refreshed. He's inviting you to come and tap into his source of living water, that the living water might flow through your life, that you might be like a refreshing drink of water to everyone you see. Perhaps you've been here, you're here today, and you've been living week to week, just little by little, watering to watering. And the Lord is reminding you, today is the day to put down those deep roots, to develop and cultivate that feeding program, that you might drink deeply of his word for yourself. Maybe you're just one hot wind away from withering and drying up and being blown away. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, for those of us who need to cultivate deeper roots, God, I pray that you would help us to push those roots down, to tap into the source of living water that never runs out. Unlike the Central Valley of this state, God, it never runs out. It's never cut off. It never hides. Lord, help us to be like that tree you described. Help our lives to be fruitful in all seasons, to flourish, no matter what the conditions of the world are around it. Help us to cultivate that sort of life. Lord, would you give us a new desire as some of us step out in faith and
and choose a spiritual discipline of getting into your word, of meditating on it day and night. God, would you change that discipline into a delight? Give us a new passion for your word, because we believe it's living and active. We thank you for it. And finally, with every head bowed and eyes still closed in this place, perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You've never accepted and received his free gift of grace and mercy. I believe that some of you may be here and need to take that very first step of faith today. That is to receive God's free gift of forgiveness and grace. Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about agreeing here with someone about it. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus, to say, Jesus, yes, I want to receive your free gift of grace. If that's you today, with every head bowed and eye closed in this room, would you just lift up your hand and say, that's me. I want to receive God's free gift of grace today. I want to say yes to Jesus. Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else in this house today, say, that's me. I want to respond to the Lord from the front to the back. Thank you. God bless you. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the very first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you, Jesus, with all of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate this morning? Church, that's my prayer for you.